This one that says, I wanted to read these because these were in support of the caller. Yes, Auntie, you have my support on that. I totally agree. Adding to the protection of corporate Barbados. Now, the debate again has ensued on my platforms where a person is saying, so you're trying to tell me that a defense force could be set up in 3 months after a coup. And then, of course, some people on the other side is saying yes, because it only takes a name change. So they just had to put them together and call the name change. Now, I was speaking to someone older off here when we were on the lunchtime break, and they were telling me that there were discussions and plans for some time, but the situation around the time in relation to Grenada, etc., actually could have just caused it to come about a little bit quicker. So there's a lot of debate. I actually got some messages here. Good afternoon, Alex. Asking the same thing. So we go back and forth with that. Anyhow, thank you, caller. Caller still there? All right. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
No, Corey.
Yes, please.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Okay.
Now, I want to give you an observation, and I got a few questions to ask. Now, in recent times, I am a bit concerned when we have some African leaders coming to Barbados. Oh, the last one was Kenyatta or something to that extent.
The one from Kenya?
Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
That is a part of Africa, anyhow.
Yes, it is, yes. Just the state.
Have you observed that all of these African leaders in recent times, whenever they come to Barbados, they are dressed in the Western form with the three-piece suit?
Yes.
But yet, whenever we got a group over here that tells their tied to Africa, they're with a lot of African clothes and drum and kiddo. And you know these leaders in for that.
Huh? Interesting observation. You sound like a friend of mine, but go ahead.
This is what got me concerned, because mm-hmm. we both here, mm-hmm. making all parents go about a lot of African there for the children.
Mm-hmm.
All the African leaders that I have read about went to England and study, and they come back in their Western clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we got people down here, causing the parents to spend a lot of money and want to be chiddling drum and parade.
I think they'd be exposing an aspect of African culture, because
I didn't even know what they're doing.
I think when we started to watch a lot of African movies, we got to see understand the size and the diversity of Africa. Because Africa is no homogenous group. Africa is huge, and Africa has so many different languages and a vast culture. I think when we concentrate on the things you're talking about, we are actually just looking at one aspect of African culture.
Good. All right. That is another question that we want to ask. Every now and again, I just hear the minister later in the news. We are getting so much talk from the ministers that I would like one of these days that a minister show to the country through media or CBC what is a day's work for them. I am a bit puzzled. I remember years ago, we had a man named Don Blackman said the job that he was offered as a minister was a half-day job. And what got me concerned, you always, in recent times, you hear the minister labor tell you how to treat your workers. And he expects them to do this and he expects them to do that. You know, for years, they got some matters done before the tribunal, like Ministry of Labor. And I want to know what's going on down there. Huh? If you can't bring justice to workers, what sense is it you coming out moping all the time and telling people you want this? And you want that, and your very department can deliver justice to the worker. You feel that makes sense?
But no, the two don't need to be separate, because you may not be able to do the right thing. Doesn't mean it's like the doctor saying, you know, do as I say and not as I do. So because they're not doing the right thing, it doesn't mean that it looks hypocritical, yes, but it doesn't mean that you cannot call for the standards and so on to be high as well. You need to pull out your socks, yes, but you need to say, it's like a parent who drinks and so on and tells a child, no, you don't drink in this house, you don't drink. It is hypocritical, but it's still the parent's responsibility to put the child in the right direction.
That is why I believe so much in things Auntie America is saying, you know. What I am saying, we need a valuation of the ministerial duties of a minister. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we get that, this country will get better off.
You are correct, though. We need a system change, because the way the system is set up right now, it is not effective, it is not working, and we continue to do the same thing in the same way and expect a different result. My understanding is that the minister is really there for policy. And as it relates to the public sector, there's very little ministers can do to direct anybody outside of the permanent secretary. And then there's still a lot of restriction there. And when we talk about the length of time, responsiveness, accountability of the government service itself, you know, it's very difficult to hold anyone to account. And we believe that that's the minister's job, but the minister's hands are really tied as it relates to human resource management in the public sector. So the whole thing needs a relook, a reforming, a reshaping, and not just a relook, because you can tell them to do an evaluation. And sir, they will evaluate, they will produce reports. But what will happen after that, we all know.
Well, I feel the next thing for our electorate to do, because the amount of money we pay for a minister, and all you get in now and then is a speech that is written by somebody, that is being read by a minister, and the duties pertaining to them, nothing is happening. And I feel in mind that the Minister of Labour should set an example, make sure that his department delivers justice, and stop coming out here talking all the time about what workers should do, and right in front of his nose, he can't get justice. Thank you, Corey.
Wait, hello?
Yeah.
Well, before you go, I just want to respond to this. I think it's an interesting point. This one says, Leo, African people are subjected to the same colonial experiences as us. The fact that they are African doesn't mean everything they do is right. Nobody in a climate like ours should be dressing in winter jackets and ties.
Hi.
All right, thank you. Brass Stats, good afternoon. I love that response. The best response for the year. 5 minutes after 1 o'clock, you are on the air.
Hi, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon. Good
afternoon. Mm-hmm. To you and all. So I understand South Africa is very cold, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I.
But Barbados, Barbados isn't. That's the point the person was writing to.
So Barbados.
So if you wear a winter jacket in Canada, when you come to Barbados, do you wear it in Barbados as well?
Not really.
Okay.
I want to mention three quick points. I just want those who are talking about abortion and so on to know that a baby is a baby is a baby, though. And the Lord said that he knit us together in the darkness of the womb. It's a mystery how we are knit together. If people really learn to appreciate life, they wouldn't just be disrespectful of life. If a lady is pregnant and there are different circumstances and so on, it's up to that lady and her doctor to decide what is the best thing, but it's not to be okay willy-nilly. All right. Vinnie said, I don't know her personally, so I call her Miss Vinnie. Miss Vinnie said that the women of today don't want a man or don't need a man. Miss Vinnie, I start to call this program because I used to listen to Miss Vinnie and Miss B, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to come with a lot of ideas and really open your eyes to certain things. And I said these women are very brave. And what I admired about them is that they're
Vinnie's
a Barbadian, mm-hmm. and Miss P is, you know, was born foreign, but she has, you know, roots here. So I say these women are brave and things. But Miss Vinnie, please, this is, I don't see this as you. Don't go there, because we would not be here without a man. And men do a lot of nonsense. It is true. We have men in our families, we have sons, and we have to still seek to do better by them.
I think the leaving off of the word some actually just is what caused a lot of this confusion. Because you say some men do a lot of foolishness. It just, I mean, some people will do foolishness, but they won't do a lot of foolishness, if you understand what I mean. So that's what creates a lot of the animosity. Right, but I get what you're coming from. And there is a cadre of women out there. I've met them. I've talked to them. I say, listen, I ain't want no man. I ain't want need a man. You know, a lot of them are into careers and professions and so on.
But they don't want children. Any children.
No, these are women that don't. Some of them that want children, they can find other ways. Artificial insemination.
But artificial insemination comes from a man.
From a man, yes, I get you. But some of them may want any children either.
Yeah, I know.
They may want. I was in a restaurant recently. I heard there was four of them at a table, man, and there was going there. I was laughing, but it was just so funny.
Let me quote this for you before I go. We cannot get a word from God, the creator of all things. And because people may not believe in God doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. And this word from Isaiah 4, verse 1, it starts at 3 bits.
But hold a minute. Again, now you quote. But if you start by saying they don't believe in God, then when y'all start to quote the Bible, persons it doesn't make any sense to them.
Persons, I'm still going to quote it, right? We hear good, bad, and ugly. I'm still going to quote it. But you can read from Isaiah chapter 3 and 4. But specifically, when I got to 4, it says, because of the pride of man and so on, and woman too, when, you know, when the two clash and different things like that. Because all these things that happened before, the women were put away. And it said, in the day when these things get so tough, eventually, 7 women, you hear that number? And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man. Saying, right? Mm-hmm. We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. A woman, some women might think they don't need a man. Eventually, it's come to the stage where you will recognize you need a man, especially if you have children.
Ma'am, just like your relationship with your religion. Just like your relationship with your religion, right? It is a personal thing. Just as in you, whether or not you, let me see how to put it. The religion and whether or not you want a man or a woman, it is a personal thing. A personal decision.
Corey, let me say this before I go. Let me say this before I go, right? Corey.
Go ahead.
I am not quoting this word because I see it and want to put it on the radio. I have experienced this kind of situation.
Right.
Okay? And as much as you can do for children, mostly mommy, right? If daddy gone. You know they can get to the point where they're blamed for not having father around. Huh? They need both parents, even if they cannot.
But we weren't talking parenting. We were talking about women who don't want any children. Let's look at this woman. Her name is Kim. She's 30 years old. She does not want any children. Does she need a man?
If she don't want any children, if she has decided that she don't want any children.
Right, she decides she ain't want no children. Does she need a man?
She will have to know she need a man before children. All right? That is a totally different something. She can have a boyfriend and don't want children.
So she ain't want no man, she ain't need a man, she ain't want no boyfriend.
Right. If she ain't want no children, she ain't want no man. That is it.
Right.
But it shouldn't be go out there that it's all okay for women to say they don't want a man.
Well, who's you to tell the women what they need if they want or need the man? That's their business.
They may want the man for other things. That is wrong.
Like what?
Materialism.
No, these independent women. These got big career, pulling in big dollars.
Big dollars and warning women. Big dollars are not enough.
You see, you on it. You have a different agenda. You see, so what I'm trying to show you now is the material things aside. So the need for other things. So we cover that they don't need it for material things. What else they need a man for?
My agenda is the family.
Right, I understand. What else they need a man for?
If you do not have your child of your own, you have a child of your sisters.
Right, they can help with that. That's that. But in terms of the man, what else do they need the man for? They want the money. What else they need him for?
A man around for so many different things.
All right, 30 minutes after one. Thank you, caller. It's just gone 16 degrees in Johannesburg, South Africa, and 32 degrees here in Bridgetown, Barbados. This is Dr. Prastat. Okay, this one. Hi, Corey. Every woman at least needs a man to help to screwing the light bulb. If y'all remember Mary Ford, she just sent me this thing here. It says, I'm helping with school supplies this year. Send me your kids' list so I can send it to their dad. I know that they have you blocked. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
No, I 3 points. I called when I heard you mention that people are calling the whole belly, all parts of it a belly and that kind of thing. But I think we need so much education to the anatomical parts of our bodies. And we need to start the children from calling these parts of the bodies by the right names, you know?
Yep.
And eventually we'll get around to the adults. Now, I'll say a penis then. Oh, do you know how many little boys don't know that that's a penis? They know it about all kinds of names, you know? But that's just a little thing there. Arm, foot, leg, forearm, all of those kinds of things. But that's just by the way there. That's how do we get around to educating these people about these things? Don't they teach these things, these little things in school? Whether it's in social studies or the little ones would not be doing anatomy and physiology, but things like social studies and so on. I thought that when I was at school, those things would be mentioned along the way.
Right, you know, my wife is a stickler for that, you know, she actually, what people actually call the vagina is actually the vulva, and she makes that determination, and you know, the penis, and you know, and make sure that you get comfortable with the words from early, but
Corey,
culturally speaking, it's not something that we always do.
Mm-hmm. Corey, I don't want to say vagina because some people will take it, but this is a radio station and I should not be saying those words, okay?
But you just say that we should be calling the correct names of the,
yes,
of the body parts.
Yes, but
part,
somebody
so.
Might still think, here she's on the radio. What does she say down about vagina on the radio? But what I'm saying is, we sometimes when we're not familiar with using these terms, you feel uncomfortable when you mention them.
Right,
but
I get you. But once you call the correct terms, I know one of there's a term that got banned around here recently, but you can say penis. You understand? It's the correct term.
But no, the thing, I got to other points before I go. But I mean, if we can get the little children from small, getting familiar with the right names for these things.
Yeah, point me.
That your foot only starts at your foot and not at your knee. Anyway, the next thing is now, while I was listening, I heard you read an email about some person saying that they're written to so many people. I know they're calling on you, and you said something about referring to Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not, it sounded like me, but it's not me because I'm not that computer literate.
No, I wasn't reading anything. I was actually giving the actual experience of moderators only myself. A lot of people go through a lot of these stages, and sometimes they just come to us because they want to know the correct department to go to, because you're sitting in the chair, so many things are referred to you. After a while, you build up experience in terms of pointing people in the right direction. But there are some people who go through all of the different levels and stages and agencies and so on, and they say, look, we can only turn to y'all now. And the reality is, it puts a lot of pressure on you sometimes, and sometimes the core reality is that the reality is, what can we do? You know, we can highlight it, we can try to think, but the whole thing is, how do we hold the account, the persons who are supposed to, because they are persons who are paid to do these things. They show up every day and they are paid to do these things.
But Corey, before you go, I was saying, it sounded so, and I've been on the program so many times, so somebody's saying, but she's being a coward now, and she's saying on the email, but it certainly wasn't me because I'm not that kind of computer
literate.
Last point is, when we get to the African business, I wanted to talk about this for quite a while. And I thought it might have been considered something of me when the Kenyan president was here. But I have wondered for years, that the World Health Organization and UNICEF responsible for children, do they know that the amount of people living in Africa who are being eaten alive by jiggers, and they're still living in mud houses, and they're hanging the laundry when they do wash on the same grass outside where the jiggers multiply. And the thing about it is, it's even happening in Kenya. Now, we have a lot of missionaries going from all over the world to Africa. And when I've been watching these things, I wonder, where in Africa do these people go?
That's good. That's a real good one. I hear looking it up what you're talking about. It says really native to Central and South America, but have been inadvertently introduced to humans by to sub-Saharan Africa. Anyhow, we move on at this time. 21 after 1, down the brass, that's you're on the air. Good afternoon, down the brass, that's you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, please, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good. I heard Auntie America making a statement today. I am not 100% sure if what I think I hear was correct. Well, I wanted to find out, was he saying that the defense force was formed by Tom Adams before the, or as a result of the invasion, or the uprising, better word, in Grenada?
Right, he was saying that it was formed for the sole reason of protecting the prime minister after what happened in Grenada.
For that sole reason?
Yes.
Well, I agree with what you had said, that he would got to be in the prime minister's brain to know that is what it was formed for, or that was his decision for farming it. You remember you said that?
Yeah, you will have to be. For you to say the sole reason, now it may happen and it may be a cause of or addition to, but obviously it would have to be in train before the 3 months.
I would believe so.
So, I'm not convinced so. Against, it's but, of but the same opinion.
Point
still,
is,
so.
The point that I want to make to you is that the defense force was formed before the uprising in Grenada.
No.
Yes, sir. And again, get any reason. Do
I think the
remember?
Coast Guard was in existence because what I'm seeing here, and it looked at, you could correct me if I'm wrong. I was speaking to even Dennis. He was saying the uprising, all of the things that led to the uprising started back from 1974. And it culminated, if you want to call it that, in March 13, 1979.
Right.
And the defense force was established August 15, 1979. So that would be after. The Coast Guard and the regiment was there before, but the actual Barbados Defense Force.
I remembered Mr. Lewis was then made a brigadier.
Brigadier, right. Mm-hmm.
An order to lead the defense force in Grenada.
So you're confusing two things here. You're talking about the intervention, which is 1983. The gentleman was talking about the overthrow of the Gary government, which happened in March of 1979. You're confusing two different issues.
But I never heard him say Gary. That's one of the things that...
Sir, he was speaking about the New Jewel movement, which overthrew the Gary regime on the 13th of March, 1979. That's what he was referring to.
Never used the word Gary.
Sir, he said what happened 3 months prior in 1979, which was the overthrow of the Gary government on the 13th of March, because he was saying it was formed in 3 months after that event, which was March of 1979, not 1983.
Well, I'm not disputing what you are saying, Mr. Johnson, but all he said, he did not use the word Gary government.
So, but that's what he was referring to, the 1979 overthrow.
That fall on all fours with what Corey was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I am not in his head to determine what he really meant, but he never called Gary government.
All right, we get the point. You have another point?
No, I ain't got no more.
All right, thank you very much. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Hello?
Corey?
Yes, please, Brastats. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Corey?
Yes, please.
I was listening to the coming out of the news about this dilemma that men are in and suicidal and problems of all sorts that men are going through. You're acquainted with that of the news?
Yes, please.
I got some advice for men. It doesn't matter what age that they are. only separate themselves from relationships by taking sex out of their lives. Now, I don't know how easy it is that you may look at it, but if you can take sex out of your life as a man, these problems will not surface. It's as simple as that. I have not had problems with females for 19, 20 years. And that is because I have took sex out of my life for 20 years.
The WhatsApp says, Corey, please let the caller know that you're recently married, and when you celebrate your 50th anniversary, you may be in a similar position as him. I thank you. Though the brass stats. Good afternoon. You're on the ear. Good afternoon. Don't the brass stats. You're on the ear. Brass stats. Good afternoon. Just gone 1:30 minutes and counting before we strike up the band and head on home for this wonderful Wednesday edition of Don't the Brass Stats. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Corey, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. What instrument you play in the band?
The bass drum.
Yeah, I'm the drummer.
Okay, good, good.
Good. Mr. Corey, this thing about the American Army, the Army here in Barbados and all that, we only get an Army in 1979, 1980, because we was going to have to spend 2% of our GDP in America. Listen to Trump, that was, we have to spend 2% of the Army.
So there's a new theory now to add to the three that was placed this morning. So it was Cindy Burnett Allen, it was the Geary government, and now you're saying it is, we had to spend 2% to please
Trump.
Well, not Trump, he wasn't there yet.
Of our GDP.
Right, so what was the basis, what's the basis for your information? Really?
Because it's right there. Listen to Trump.
No, it's right there. But Trump wasn't there in 1979,
Trump,
sir.
But listen, Ronald Reagan was there.
Right.
So whatever Ronald Reagan's saying.
Sir, I'm not arguing with you, you know. I'm not fighting with you. Rest on the gloves a minute, sir. Just rest on the gloves.
Yes,
I am asking you. So Glenn Murray came and he put his position and what he thought. Tell you, America came and he put what he thought. I'm asking you now, where was your basis for that information? What was there, a news article, a date, anything? Just give us something to sink our teeth into.
Corey, you don't
know
about
getting
this article for.
No, all right. I was just giving an example. So I was. That's just an example. You don't need an article.